You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Hi, Jamie Lee.
Afternoon. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you too. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
That's good. So, to begin with, the Ministry of Vulnerable Children is launching today, but a review of child, youth and family services in April 2015 by an expert advisory panel found the services fragmented, lacking in accountability and without common purpose. It was found that more than half the time of the employers was spent on administration and only 25% of staff actually worked directly with the children. So how does the ministry differ or plan to improve the programs of child, youth and family that they already offer?
Well, that review led to this change where there's the new Ministry for Vulnerable Children. Essentially, the change is that rather than being the ministry that steps in when there's a crisis situation, the ministry steps in much earlier, assists people earlier, tries to work in with children and their parents and their lives a lot earlier in the process, so that we have fewer instances where the government has failed people. The government has failed people in the past. That wasn't good enough, and we need to refocus and turn our energy to ensuring that doesn't happen again. Anne Tolley's committed, the Minister of Social Development, she's and the Minister of Children, she's committed to ensuring that this ministry acts more appropriately, is no longer the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, and invests money up front to ensure that vulnerable children are better looked after. It's not going to be perfect from day one, but the focus of the government is changing significantly to assist children much more.
Okay, well, Green Party MP Jan Logie says she's worried that the change might mean the Ministry for Vulnerable Children could contract out care and protection services to external organisations. Is this outsourcing a likely option for the ministry?
Well, it's a role of opposition MPs to be worried about something. So Jan's doing her job, I guess, and opposition MPs hold us to account. But there are about 3,500 staff which will be moving over. Over time, there will be staffing changes, of course. But the ministry's job is to lead and be the central agency around this. I don't know exactly what they're going to be doing in terms of any contracts, but there are lots of social service providers out there within New Zealand that are involved in providing services to children. I wouldn't be surprised if there is engagement with private social service and community social service agencies. It's important we do work with the whole community and take a holistic approach to these issues. But ultimately, the ministry will be leading this. The ministry will be doing the job. And it's the government, through this ministry's responsibility, to ensure children that are in state care are safe. The state looks after these children when there is no other option there and where they have been failed by other providers, and we'll continue to do that. We need to do it in a better way, and we need to ensure that we're no longer just patching up holes, that we're working with children and family early on in their lives to assist them. It's the whole social investment approach to the way in which government does things now. We no longer just try and pick up the pieces. We try and identify problem factors, identify situations where a child may be at risk, where a child may have difficulty later in life, and we assist them. Whether it's from a health perspective, an education perspective, we try and step in much earlier now and do things better. And funding increases that we've put into these areas have been all around investing in the social sector up front and early to assist people. We want people to go on to live happy lives where they have a job, where they have an education, and where their children don't end up in state care. That's the ultimate goal for this ministry and for the government.
Given that the ministry is leading the change for the social service, don't you think it's important that they are engaging directly with the children rather than outsourcing these services?
Well, they will. The government, through this ministry, will be doing this job. There's 3,500 staff that I understand will be part of this ministry. That's not wholesale contracting out. But if a ministry works with a private or social sector agency that's working within a community, that's not a bad thing. That's the government working with people on the ground that are doing important jobs. And I think we should be working with other agencies and with other organisations that are out there. If I think of my electorate, there's a whole number of social sector organisations, most of them charitable, most of them involving funded community and charity funded avenues. That's positive, and we should be working with them, and we should bring them in inside the tent so that we're all working together. Ultimately, how children is looked after and improving the way children are looked after is the end goal. If we're working with other organisations to do that, that's a positive thing.
So criticism of the Ministry of Vulnerable Children has said that the reform won't change anything and that the children will still be moved around to different foster homes, which can be really unsettling for them. Critics say that the change needs to be looking at the issues from the perspective of the children. So how does the Ministry propose to tackle this?
But the Ministry's focus is changing and the Ministry's approach and processes is changing as well. And the whole approach that we take to children, as I've mentioned already, is to assist up front, identify the risk factors, identify where there potentially will be failings in the future, and support those children early on. When it comes to state care, having robust processes, ensuring that child, youth and family are providing the proper oversight to what's going on is important too. It's probably not that helpful to criticise a ministry that's only just starting, though. We need to work with the ministry, get them up and running, and ensure that they're able to do their job properly. Hold them to account, yes, but I don't think people should knock something from day one for the sake of knocking it. We need to have a ministry there that's working hard, changing the way child, youth and family has been doing things to intervene at an earlier stage to help children to live long and successful lives in the future.
Okay, cool. Well, moving on to the Tertiary Education Union survey. So a recent survey released by the Tertiary Education Union members has found that 63% of academics have felt more pressured to pass students over the past decade, and 66% of university staff are feeling that students are being accepted into courses that do not adequately meet prerequisites. Sandra Gray from the Tertiary Education Union says that these pressures are a result of pass rate targets set by the government. Do you think that this is a justified statement?
Well, firstly, the survey itself was an opt-in survey that they do every election year, and it's designed to get some publicity, and they're entitled to do that. But if you're going to have a robust look at how the tertiary education sector is operating, then it probably needs to be done with statistical accuracy, done through an independent source. I noticed that the tertiary education sector themselves have disagreed with much of those findings and don't believe that is the case. The 85% that the Sandra Gray called a target, it's not a target, it's a benchmark that some universities set themselves, but my understanding is that's not a target that the government sets. The government does have the Tertiary Education Commission there and NZQA, which are very interested to hear if there are any instances of cheating or any instances of universities not applying the rules properly. Universities also have their own internal processes for ensuring academic accuracy and academic certainty. And I guess the suggestion would be if individuals in the sector are noticing something or noticing issues not being dealt with properly, they should follow the appropriate complaint base. We're investing $4 billion into the tertiary education sector, though. It's designed to try and boost the quality of students coming out the other end. And I understand also that the University of Auckland, for example, has said that the grade point averages that people are entering the university with are actually higher than they were in previous years. The students coming to university are better qualified and have a better foundation than they have in past years, and that's a positive thing too.
So you've said that the funding is being increased. Are there any other solutions that the government's proposed to aid these teachers and avoid compromising the quality of their teaching?
Well, I wouldn't just assume that an opt-in survey done by the union every election year accurately captures the situation within the sector. If there are problems, then I would suggest that the appropriate complaints mechanisms that universities have and NZQA and the Tertiary Education Commission use those avenues. The quality that we are seeing coming out of universities is actually lifting, and that's a positive thing. We want our students to compete on the world stage. We want our universities to produce high-quality graduates that can go on to get jobs. We're seeing that happening. We're seeing more people coming out of the university and tertiary sector with qualifications, which enables them to get jobs, which enables them to stay out of welfare, which enables them to live a successful life. And that is proving to be successful.
Cool. Well, thank you, Jamie Lee. That's all for today, and I'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thank you very much.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.